Ashwini, are you there?
Good morning, Sherry, and welcome to Making a Change for Good.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What a drama.
All right, I know. Here we are. Well, give me 1 second, Sherry. I didn't bring you on because I'm just trying to dance with the program here. Give me 1 second.
Okay. All right. Take your time.
All right. Here we go. Here was our assignment from yesterday. Draw portraits of the aspects of ego you've seen. Jot down what each says for Cornelison. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Steve in New York.
Hello, Steve. What are you seeing?
It's funny because at first I didn't see much, but in the last couple of days I've seen a lot.
Uh-huh.
Not the least of which of that I felt a lot of, fear,
uh-huh.
Which was not surprising because it was kind of similar to previous content areas.
Mm-hmm.
But it did signal a need to spend more time reassuring myself about, what life really is.
Uh-huh. And so can you say a little about the form the fear took? Does it, the voices start talking to you, saying scary things, threatening you? What, how does that work?
Well, it was sort of a persistent sense that I was in trouble, which I would probably say was kind of like a very childish thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it's persistent.
Mm-hmm. So a sense of you're in trouble without any particular content, just a vague dread.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Though it's interesting that it seems to apply to pretty much every content.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. And it's good to see that it doesn't have specifics, right? So I would bet if you turn around quickly and say, "So what am I in trouble about? What?" It, there would be a fairly long blank where there was nothing there before a story could get started in conditioned mind about, well, there's this and there's that and you this and you're that and you're that way and you did that. But it would take a while for ego to rev up a case against you. So that pervasive gloom and doom feeling that is meant to signal. Are you moving around a lot, Steve? Or
sorry, that was the wind.
Oh, okay.
And a car. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm outdoors.
All right. So seeing that feeling is there and realizing it doesn't actually mean anything. It's just supposed to signal you to turn attention to conditioned mind for a story about what's wrong with you.
Yes.
Yeah? And that's what you're watching happen, right? Every time it's there, you go, what? What did they do? What is this about? You look to conditioned mind, it's got a story for you. Yeah? So you realize that that's a young person who learned to have that level of anxiety about getting in trouble or making a mistake, doing something wrong. And so there's one aspect of the personality. And it's very likely, if you're like the rest of us, that that same pervasive message has carried through. So you probably got a variation on that, you know, as you went up through your school years, as you preteen, teenage years, through adolescence, through young adulthood, that it changed with your life circumstances in terms of the story, but the feeling is very old.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because yesterday I drew a quick list and I started at age 8 and went through my 40s. And I noticed that even though the context changed every time, the story was kind of similar.
Yes, yes. The feeling is similar. The dread, I don't know how. But we both know what we're talking about, right? It's just that vague, there's something wrong. That's the same. And then the where it leads you is the same. There's something wrong with you. Now, what your job is to figure out what that is and fix it, right? And, of course, a person can spend an entire lifetime in that little circular melodrama without anything ever changing except increasing suffering. Because, in fact, there isn't anything wrong, and it's impossible to fix something if there's nothing wrong. And so you're just left in that same belief system and suffering over it.
Until now.
yeah, exactly. Now we're seeing a way out. Okay, so having grasped that, then perhaps bringing more, having a greater ability to explore this particular content of sexuality, because now you know what the process is, and so you can start really zeroing in on the various beliefs and assumptions that conditioned mind, that ego gets you with, right? The things that different aspects of the personality get hooked by.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And then you let us know. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. So, Sherry, what I was seeing as on a process level around that is something that we've been looking at, right, that the ability to identify through this process of naming voices the sensations that are associated to them, and getting to this place where the thinking is so from a child's perspective, right? I'm going to get into trouble, and I don't know what I'm going to get into trouble about. Is the source of all anxiety, right? The unpredictability of not knowing how what I'm going to do is to produce a reaction that makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
And
so if I don't know what I'm doing, I can't stop it, right? I can't fix it. It's just hopeless.
Right. So I feel the sensation, I feel bad, and I have to survive the encounter is, right? And so to me, that's so interesting, that process that we do to identify a pattern of thought and sensation and emotion and story and behavior as a thread, and know and articulate it well enough that when I experience it, I realize that I am in that pattern of thought. And we have then two choices. We can redirect the attention, because I can get present rather than indulging that thought stream. And the second is to look at it and understand through two-handed recording exercise what's going on for that person. And really, as you pointed to, it's what is it that is the threat, or what are we afraid of, or what does it mean about us, as a way to get to the bottom of what's being held underneath that thought pattern and release that energy.
Yes, and as Steve indicated, what do I need? What do I need to hear? How do I need to be reassured in order to be able to stay in that process that you just described, right?
Yes.
So it's a matter of being with that person who has been excuse me, tortured by that system, staying there and getting through to the other side, realizing, well, there's nothing to that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That the fear is the lack of survival. And there's some way in which we have to learn to be with that.
Yes. Yeah. And again, I think what you're pointing at is when we can redirect the attention in two ways, right? I can redirect my attention to the breathing and look at the tree and be here and find out where my feet are and that sort of thing. I can also redirect attention to what's happening. So there is that vague dread. All right, let's turn attention to that and see what's behind it. See what it's actually, see what's going on there. Okay? And what happens when we do that, of course, is it dissolves because it isn't anything.
Yes. And it's the way of transferring it from a conditioned mind into conscious awareness.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's
as my teacher would say, none of this can stand up under scrutiny. Right. Yeah. The reason it persists is because we're too afraid to look directly at it. If we once look directly at it, we realize, well, that's nothing. Okay?
Mm.
So practice is helping us work up the courage to look at these things that we've been so threatened by.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Patty.
Hello, Patty.
This topic, this topic's got me in knots. I can relate a little bit to the last caller. And when I was at the monastery for the retreat in New Year's, a whole bunch of stuff around this subject came up. On, you know, just conditioned mind shutting down everything and repressing everything. And I mean, I have snippets of things that come to me, but I think there's still a lot of resistance.
Oh, I'm sure, Patty. Yeah, I'm sure. Because, as you know, resistance is ego digging in to defend itself,
mm-hmm.
right? So a subject like sexuality, for most people, has so much attached to it, right? I mean, from the time we're little, tiny kids, we're getting messages about don't do that, don't touch that, you can't, right? So that, and then, just build from there with all of the feelings, all of the things that other people are doing, the things that happen to us. I mean, ego has an armed fortress
mm-hmm.
that it can hide behind when it comes to something like sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're going to face this. You're going to see through this, and you're ready to see everything involved so that this human being can finally be free of this particular content. Well, ego mm-hmm. says, I don't think so. No, I'd
like to, but but I'm getting a lot of...
Well, you would like to, but ego really wouldn't like you to,
no.
right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so where does that leave you? Are you getting a sense of who the various players are and who's got what going on and what kind of support this one needs and that one needs?
I'm getting inklings of, that it's dangerous to dress a certain way and because if you dress in a sexual way, you might get raped. Or, that kind of, a little bit like this vague fear thing that mm-hmm. goes way back.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, which is that I need to conform to what my husband's idea of what a sexual relationship is without even recognizing that I'm a separate person and that what is it, you know, questioning, what is it that I want? Who am I in this? And how are my needs served? It's different from just the assumptions that I have made from many years, not as much now, but in the past about sexuality, what it looks like, what I need to do for a partner. And then if it's not to my liking, if it's not something that I feel I want to do, there's something wrong with me. I'm not meeting the criteria.
That's right.
And the interesting part about that, not always, not across the board, but very often those standards are being held nowhere other than with ego. And the way we can tell that is we're not allowed to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can't have this conversation with an intimate partner, right? Because it the very fact that you would want to have that conversation proves that there's something wrong with you.
Right.
Yeah. So, yes, and again, going so far back that those messages, I mean, we really have to look. We have to stay with the subject to begin to get a sense of all those messages because there are so many of them, and they have been building one upon the other for so long.
Yes.
And not just with your family, right, where they first started, but then as soon as we launch out into society, oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
They're nonstop. You should be, you're a woman. The one thing that you should be is attractive and sexually desirable. The other thing that you should be is not sexual. You are there to please, not to be pleased.
Well, and the duality comes in when society says, oh, you should be sexual. You should look sexual.
That's right.
But
that's exactly
dangerous.
Right. That's exactly right. And then if something happens as a result of that, it's your fault. So we start seeing how, there's this little person in the middle and all these arrows pointed right at that human being, right? And that, in fact, if anybody wanted to take that on, I think that would be a fabulous exercise, right? So in this case, put her in the middle. Steve could put Steve in the middle, and whomever else is going to put themselves in the middle, and then draw the arrows with the points right at that human being. And on that arrow, write what the message is. And we begin to see that there is absolutely no way for a person to do anything but suffer under those circumstances, because there is no way out.
Mm-hmm. Just playing with
you
the
can't do it right.
That are pointed at that person.
That's right.
Putting them
in
a cage.
In a cage, right. So yes, so that drawing becomes a cage, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there is no exit. And, of course, what we're doing with this work is dismantling those. So when you see something like, I have to dress to be sexually alluring, but the fact that I'm dressing to be sexually alluring proves that I'm a bad person, and as if something happens to me, if I'm raped, it's my fault. Okay, when you start seeing through those, you can just remove that arrow, okay, because that message is going to be revealed for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Bogus, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how we're dismantling that cage and letting ourselves out of it, one belief system at a time.
The one thing I found with this content is that, like in the past, I've been able to focus on one part of it and the messages and things that come up around that. Whereas this one, it just seems so big and overwhelming.
Yes.
I haven't been able to pinpoint, okay, I'm going to look at just this part of it.
That's right. That's right. And that's fine, Patty. Don't worry about it. Okay, so here's your assignment today and going forward. You're in the process of just recognizing the messages and jotting them down.
Okay.
Just recognize the message and jot it down. And then as I can't remember when the assignment was, but begin to group them. So there's all, you'll see a whole section about appearance, and you'll see a whole section about whose needs are important, and you'll see a whole section about, right, how you should be, that you are not an equal player in this situation. So right. You'll begin to see them, and then as you see them like that, as a more complete belief system, you'll be able to work with them directly.
Okay.
Yeah, that, all right. And then you'll let me know.
Okay.
You'll let us know.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Bye, Ashwini.
Okay,
here we go. Next caller, you are live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sharon Ashwini. It's Jan in Fremont.
Hello, Jan. Good to hear your voice.
Hi. Well, I have to say, this is great modeling for perseverance.
What can we do? We just keep on. It's AT&T. It's a mighty force to go up against. So patience and perseverance are us. All right, Jan,
oh,
what
my
are you
gosh.
Seeing?
Well, thank you for that. Well, I'm seeing so much, and I think that what was just mentioned in the previous call, that there's so much to look at that I'm told it's overwhelming. I know it's not, but there's so much, because everything in life is affected by this, sexuality.
Yes.
I mean, it just is.
Yes.
And but a process, I just want to share a process I saw in the looking that has been illuminating for me, and I want to look more because it just sort of has happened very recently, and that is that I'm told this is how resistance is showing up, that, oh, it's okay, you know enough about it already. Just that glossing, it's an overarching glossing over that everything's fine. It's what I saw
nothing
at
to see
the,
here.
At our kickoff. It's the same thing I saw there. Yeah, nothing. Well, there are things to see, and you've seen them, and that's good. And it's sort of like the person that just keeps walking no matter what tragedies or anything else that's going on. And so that process, it's just been so helpful to see that process, because it doesn't matter what the content is, what's going on. That is happening.
Uh-huh. The glossing over piece of it.
Yeah, and it's almost hard to explain how it's happening, because it's a feeling at times, it's words of just, yeah, okay, that's
so,
good,
yeah,
good
and,
enough.
And,
that's
so
that's the key word.
Yeah,
it's good enough.
Yeah, it's good enough, and it's a faux taking care of, right? You're fine.
Exactly.
You don't really need to know any more about that. You're fine as you are, and that is definitely what we don't mean by reassurance, right?
It makes me that much more aware that I need to really be looking. Really be doing, I mean, in detail, as much detail as possible, looking at the assignments and following through on that, because it's so easy to fall into it.
And with something so important, as you say, it affects its biology, right? It's being a human form, right? It's the incarnation. So it's not like it's happening, it's a small piece of the whole picture. It's a huge piece of the picture.
Yeah.
So what just dropped in? I'm sitting here in front of the window, and I look out at a lot of nature, and the analogy that dropped in was, so I've developed an interest in botany. Well, botany is big,
right?
Where do I start? Well, I start with the leaf that's in front of me. I start with the plant that I'm looking at. I bring conscious awareness to that. I don't have to know everything about the whole thing. I don't have to know how it's all interrelated. I'm just present with whatever's here. And what occurred to me about that, and then again, you'll let me know if this is the case, what will begin to drop in for you are words and phrases. And
yes,
you will recognize them in a new way, not just as, yeah, I know, but in a, oh, that word dropped in. It's like, oh, that leaf, right? Oh, that word, or oh, that phrase, or you're watching something or reading something and you feel a reaction to it, and you zero in on that and start going deeper into, well, what is that really? What's behind that?
Oh, that's so helpful. That's so helpful. Thank you. And what I saw as you were saying that is just the resistance shows up so that will not happen. It's that, you're not getting it. You got to get all this at once, you know. And so that keeps what you're describing from happening. So thank you. And I know we're
so
at time.
Yeah, that's so perfect, isn't it? Because on the one hand, you're fine. You don't really, you're good. I mean, you get this. And then on the other, oh, well, you know, no, actually you don't. And it's too big and overwhelming for you to even take on.
You can't win. We know that. We know we can't.
Right. We cannot win. But Jan, it's going to be so fun to watch that happen, because it's the sort of thing where this is one that fascinates me. All right. I run across a word that I've never heard before. And I think, how is that possible? Because once I see it, it's everywhere. Right?
Yeah.
I read it here. It's on a billboard, for God's sake. And I think, where was I? What was I? How did I miss that? Not in a self-hating way, but just in a fascinated way. And that's how life is going to give you these places for you to look deeply.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you.
Go happy.
Go happy. See you soon.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Jen. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show.
And apologies. An adventure-packed show.
And apologies for starting late and the technology issues in between. But here's our sign
help.
Go back and review the conversation in your head that you've jotted down about this issue to see if there are any voices you've not captured. Example, a missing voice could have been, I'm afraid of what I'll see if I look closely at this topic.
Boy, bet we can all relate to that one.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, Bob, out there watching over us, too. Thanks, everybody.
Go happy.
See you tomorrow. Go happy.